Hello, this is Tony Brewer from the We Talk Truth Group, and you're listening to Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we talk about various and sundry topics of the Bible, things that are on your mind. Most of these episodes, there's been 99 of them so far, and I would imagine about 80 of them have been specifically viewer requested content. So we try to do what we can to answer your questions and all that good stuff. Anyway, the word cogitations literally means to think about thing. I tell you what, I haven't done this in a long time, so let me go get out my trusty rusty e-sword and let me go to Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 28, all the way to the last verse. Hitherto is the end of the matters for me, Daniel. My cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And that word cogitations, as it's defined in the Hebrew, is thought or thoughts. And then, of course, cogitations corresponding to grasp, that is figuratively a mental conception. So the idea, we're going to think about it. We're going to give it more than a passing thought. And what we're going to talk about today is people who live in a perpetual state of childhood. I'm not talking about people failure to launch or people who are immature. I'm talking about people who are mentally handicapped. I know that I cannot remember her first name, but I think it's Sister Higginbotham. If you'll go to the Carnes Church of Christ website, I think you will find a link on that website to an organization called Eternally His. In fact, I'm right here. I don't know why. I'm gonna see if I can Google it. Eternally His. All right, Eternally His. Nope, it's too much. It's too much. Or Forever His. Forever His, Forever, Forever His, Carnes Church of Christ. Let's see what that is. Yeah, the Forever His Ministry. I'm gonna read this from their website. Forever His is a ministry for children and young adults with moderate to severe special needs. A large group of caring Christians provide fun daily camps for these children twice a year. Activities include Bible stories, singing, puppets, crafts, games, and much more. Each Forever His guest will have buddies who will help them participate to the fullest. We give special consideration and prepare for each guest's safety, medical needs, food sensitivities, bathroom diapering needs, and mobility and sensory issues. We want to be prepared for whatever need our guest may have. Included in our staff is a physician, registered nurses, therapist, special education teachers, along with a host of other volunteers. A detailed registration form must be completed in advance so we can adequately prepare. Their next day camp is Saturday, March 28th, 2020. And I tell you what, this is such a good thing. I'm going to link this. I'm going to link this in the comments on the added page. And I would suggest you do research into this organization. And if you're so inclined to be generous, if you're looking for something to get behind, a cause to get behind, and the Lord has blessed you with this world's good, then open up your bowels of compassion and help this ministry. They're not soliciting funds or anything, but I mean, I would assume that if you wanted to help in some whatever way, that they would be open to that help. Shadrach's Coffee. You ought to go to Shadrach's Coffee and look at getting some of their coffee ordered. Let's see. Shadrach's Coffee. Good stuff. Shadrach'sCoffee.com. I talk about them a lot. I am going to paste a link in the description. Now, you can order some good coffee from there. Now, the question is, what if somebody is mentally handicapped to the point where they can't understand the Bible? Well, you know, we're tempted to say, well, of course, they're fine. God's going to be fine. And listen, I agree with God's going to be fine. God's not going to hold them accountable. Now, I agree with that, but this is the We Talk Truth group, and we want to have book, chapter, and verse for the stances that we take and the views we hold. All right? So let's go to the book of Romans and think about something. Now, we can go to the Old Testament and talk about some things, and we can see where people were not accountable to the law, and then they are accountable to the law. But let's go to the book of Romans. Well, actually, I've got it bookmarked. I don't know why I'm flipping. Romans chapter 7. Now, I'm going to start with verse 1. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law, how that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. For the woman which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. But if her husband be dead, she is free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law. You also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that ye should bring forth fruit unto God. All right? Now, what are we talking about here? Paul is teaching them about how they are under the new law, and they're dead to the law of Moses, they're dead to the law of sin and death, they're dead, and they're being raised again to walk in newness of life. Therefore, you can't go back and try to be part of that old law. And then he's going to start explaining the law. Verse 5, this is the law of Moses. For when we were in the flesh, that's the law of Moses, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. That's the only thing the law of Moses could do. Now, I promise you, this is germane to our topic at hand, so just bear with me. But now we are delivered from the law, that's the law of Moses, being dead, wherein we were held, but we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. So Paul is contrasting the spirit of the law and the letter of the law, meaning the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, and then the law of Moses. All right? Verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Well, God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law, sin was dead. That means outside of the law, sin was dead. For I was alive outside, and the King James says, I was alive without the law once. But when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. You might as well read that, for I was alive outside of the law once. Well, verse 10, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death, for sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, and just, and good. All right, so I'm not going to get into an exegesis of Romans 7, but the general principle here is that Paul said that he was alive outside of the law once. Listen, sin, there is no sin without transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 1, verse 7. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Now, let's flip over. Let me see. You know, I'm really good at finding verses on the fly. Let's see. Right here, verse 15, Romans 4:15, because the law worketh wrath, for where no law is, there is no transgression. That is why a little baby is safe. That little baby has broken no law because that little baby is not under a law. That little baby isn't born under the law of Moses. That little baby isn't born into the law of Christ. That little baby is outside of the law, as Paul was outside of the law. And then when he became accountable to the laws, when he started understanding the law, and then the law came, sin revived, and he died. Because sin bringeth forth death. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is transgression of the law. Let me ask you something. A child is not under the law. Romans chapter 7, Paul lived at a time where he was not under the law. Okay? Let's go find this in John 9. I think it's very interesting to see this played out in practice. Let's see. Chapter 9, starting in verse 1. And Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, and the night cometh when no man can work, so on and so forth. Well, he healed this fella. Now, verse 8, the neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said that he is. Others said he is like him. But he said, I am he. The man that was born blind said, I'm the fella. Therefore they said unto him, How were your eyes open? And he answered and said, and he told them. Now verse 13, they brought the Pharisees to him. And it was the Sabbath day, and Jesus made the clay that opened his eyes. The Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. And he said, He put clay upon my eyes and washed, and I did see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? All right, so we're going on. Now, they brought his parents in, verse 19. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Now listen to what his parents said. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. By what means he now seeth, we know not, or who hath opened his eyes. We know not. He is of age. Ask him. Now, this they said because they were scared, because anybody that was, they were going to throw them out of the synagogue. Anyway, so we have the understanding here that this young man had come of age, and he was under the law, and he was no longer the responsibility of his parents. He was accountable to the law. Do you understand what's going on here? Now, it's not just age, though. Okay, it's not just age. Lick your finger and turn left to John 6. Let's see, starting about verse 40 and some change. 44, No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father come unto me. So everyone who hath heard and hath learned of the Father come unto me. If you are mentally handicapped to the point where you cannot learn, then you are never, ever, ever under the law. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, we are all called by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if you do not have a mental capacity whereby you can be drawn by the gospel, then you're never under a law. You are always outside of the law. Therefore, you never commit sin. Therefore, as the Corinth Church of Christ ministry so aptly chose their name, you are forever His. See how that works? So, in this situation, the Bible actually supports our knee-jerk reaction. Our knee-jerk reaction is to say, well, those folks, there's no way God would judge them people. Well, you're right. He doesn't. They're not going to be judged by the word of Jesus because they're not accountable. They're children. They are perpetual children. And we should cherish them greatly. I really like this Forever His ministry at the Corinth Church of Christ. Let's see. This has been a rather short podcast this morning. I'm going to go to the We Talk Truth group, and I'm going to check the comments there and see if we have any comments there. Hopefully this new setup works well. It does seem to give us a little bit more room. We don't have near as much room at the microphone, but we do have enough room. Here's a comment. Tony, you might have already spoke on this, but what would happen to someone on a desert island who didn't own a Bible and had no contact with believers and thus did not know to be baptized in order to be saved? Well, so for that, and I'll just answer this question really quickly since we have so much more time left. For that, I'll go back to Romans chapter 1. Verse 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, that as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Number one, there's a man on a desert island. Now, did he just magically get there, or was he shipwrecked, or what? So, was he born on that desert island? That's the thing. It's hard for us to talk about this what-if scenario, because can you imagine a world in which someone magically appeared that didn't know anything about the Bible or anything like that? In other words, God works through the Word, and part of the way the Word works is the world is so inundated with the Word that most people have an understanding that there is a Bible and there is a man named Jesus, whether or not they believe it. So that's very difficult for me to imagine a man on a desert island or someone on a desert island who didn't know the Bible and had no contact with believers. I suppose when we might think of a lost tribe, like let's say the Pygmies of Papua New Guinea. I mean, let's say that there's a tribe out there somewhere that has had no contact with the outside world. Well, the problem is they have had contact with the outside world. It's just how far back do you go? You know, it might be 12 generations since they've had contact with the outside world, and you might have to go 12 or 13 generations back before you find somebody that they've had contact with that should have taught them the gospel. So when I hear questions like this ask, it's one of those questions where I don't have to guess what God would do. I know what He's written, so I know that I'm not a man, and I'm not impugning your question. I'm just giving you some thoughts. I'm not a man that's on a desert island that doesn't know anything. I'm a man that does know something. I'm not on an island, so I need to obey the gospel. I don't have to say what God would do or not do in that special situation if someone was just winked into existence that had never known the gospel. I would say though that in a situation where somebody is born where they don't know the gospel, they don't come into contact with people who preach the gospel, that somewhere in their past, in their ancestry, they were failed. Because think about this, if you fall away and you reject God, it may affect your lineage on earth for generations. I mean, for generations to come. Now, that's a big deal. That's a big deal. So it very well could be that the fella that is on an island by himself with no access to the Bible and nobody that knows the Bible, that he's guilty of sin whether or not he ever obeys the gospel. That's not God's fault. God put the gospel in the world. And in fact, let's go to Colossians. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians. Philippians, Colossians. Colossians 1:23, if you continue in faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Listen, that gospel went out everywhere at one time. At one time, the gospel went out everywhere. It went to all the known world. And when I say the known world, I don't know how much I believe that. I believe there's a reason that God called 12 apostles, and several of them were fishermen, able to navigate the terribly stormy and unpredictable Galilean Sea. It wouldn't be that much of a stretch for a few apostles who were also fishermen to make it over to the Americas. Okay? I know that makes me sound like a nut job. I don't care. But I have to go by what the Bible says. The Bible went into all the world. All right? The gospel went into all the world. So that man could be a victim of somebody 10 or 12 or 15 generations rejecting the gospel. So again, the what if scenario, I don't know if I can speak to it, but I do know that ignorance is no excuse for the law. People do not go to hell because they don't obey the gospel. People go to hell because they sin. All right? People go to hell because they sin. Did this man on this desert island, this what if scenario, did he sin? Was he subject to a law? Well, yes. He was subject to a law. You see, he had no excuse. Go back to Romans 1. He still had no excuse. Let's see. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen and being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So he's going to at least try to live a life glorifying God. And it might be that that's not enough. Probably, I would say that if he looks at this creation and understands that there's a creator, he's going to wonder why this creator hasn't spoken. So that's going to cause him to explore. That's going to cause him to dig deeper, if that makes any sense. And I just don't see him staying there. But I know what the justice of God demands. The justice of God demands his punishment for sin. Now, back to the original. Yeah, you're right. The islands aren't that far from us by ocean to the west coast. More plausible than coming from a land bridge from the Near East. Makes sense to me. Back to the original question about people who are safe, people who are mentally handicapped to the point where they can't understand the Bible. Those people are perpetual children, and they can't be drawn by the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. They can't be taught of God, John chapter 6, verse 44. They are always outside of the law, Romans chapter 7. Read the whole chapter, I forget the verse. Therefore, they never are guilty of committing a sin, because sin is transgression of the law. 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. So I appreciate y'all. I'm gonna go back in the We Talk Truth group for a moment. Somebody, again, I don't mention names in the We Talk Truth group, but y'all keep a fella who's driving to speak at a youth rally tomorrow. Keep him in your prayers. Safe travels. Here's one. Unfortunately, there are children here in the Mississippi Delta who do not know God or know about the Bible. No one in their families is teaching them. They tell me there is no God. These are young children. It is frightening. We are working with them. Hopefully we can reach some of them. I hope you can too, because they desperately need reached. They desperately need reached. This is off the subject quite a bit, but we had a discussion about whether or not anybody can do good works unless they're in Christ. And of course, Matthew chapter 7, didn't we do many wonderful things in your name? They cast out demons, did all this, but God said, "Depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of iniquity." When all those works that they did, God described them, Jesus described them as iniquitous. Iniquitous? Works of iniquity. You can't do good works unless you're a Christian, because everything you touch is defiled. Think about Mother Teresa in Calcutta, India. all of those people that she saved from starvation, man, that seems great unless you take a long view of salvation and the long view of the outcome of it. She kept a bunch of little safe children alive long enough to convert to Catholicism or grow up and be attached to the Hindu religion. Now, we're human, so we're thinking it's best to make sure that those children grow up and have a chance. But God, I wonder if God's like, look, those people were starving, and you Christians allowed this heathen to go over there and feed them. Why didn't you go over there and feed them, and you go over there and teach them? I think it's a bad thing whenever we let the denomination show us up when it comes to benevolence. You know, we go into a land where people are starving, and we're good with preaching the gospel, but why don't we set up food banks and stuff like that? Well, it's because a lot of people think you can't do that out of the church treasury, and about the only effective way to do it in a collective fashion is out of the church treasury. It may be a cogitations for another time. Anyway, so about the safe in Christ, they're safe. Don't worry about them. Enjoy them. Go to Corinth Church of Christ and look at that Forever His ministry. And if you have a notion of being benevolent, then think about donating to that ministry. All right. So we're going to have, if you're not a patron and you would like to help this broadcast, www.patreon.com/nearchurches. We're going to give away whenever we reach 50 patrons. And in order to be a patron, you got to do at least $1 or $5 a month. Once we hit 50 patrons, we are going to give away a King James goatskin cameo Bible. This is not the Bible, but it's one just like it. This thing is wonderful. This is the one that I use in my personal ministry. I like wagging it around because it's small. It's not intimidating. And once we hit 50 patrons, we're going to give away one of these. And it's only to the people in the Patreon account. So it's only to the people who are patrons. And www.patreon.com/nearchurches if you'd like to be involved in that. Otherwise, share the dickens out of our material. Go subscribe to Podbean and Apple Podcast. And we'll see how much this stuff grows. It's already grown in leaps and bounds, and it's all because of you. And invite people to the We Talk Truth group. Man, let me tell you, the We Talk Truth group is, I've gotten some feedback lately. I did not realize the good that the We Talk Truth group was doing. I knew it was doing good, but it's gone up. It's gone up tremendously, and it's all because of you all. But anyway, so yeah, the on the question, I just got some clarification. So there's on the question of, will God, basically, we got to understand what the justice of God is. And when we sin, we die. That's why God makes a fail-safe for people who have never heard the gospel. It's not God's fault that people die and go to hell. It's without hearing the gospel. If somebody dies and goes to hell and doesn't hear the gospel, it's not God's fault. Don't lay that at God's feet. If somebody has a problem with somebody dying and go to hell who's never heard the gospel, then they need to get off the couch and go teach the gospel to the people. So for instance, if you notice that there's a group of people over here that have never heard the gospel, then open your checkbook or get off the couch. Or else, I mean, you're really saying you're okay with it. You're acceptable. There's an acceptable amount of losses. Well, God's not acceptable. God's not accepted. God doesn't accept losses. He does. There's not an acceptable amount of losses with God. God's not willing that any should perish, but all that should come to repentance. So God commissioned us. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. go ye and make disciples of all nations, teaching them or baptizing them into the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. That is to us. I mean, I think sometimes we see things, well, oh, God ought to do something about that. Really, we say somebody ought to do something about that, and then it gets blamed on God if it doesn't happen. So if I hear about a tribe that is in the Amazon that has never seen a white man and never heard the gospel in 10 or 15 generations, we're like, well, God ought to do something about that. No, you ought to do something about that. Write a check or go down there. That's the solution there. But don't lay it at God's feet. It ain't his fault that nobody's been down there preaching the gospel. It also is not his fault that 10 generations ago, they killed the evangelist that God sent, you know? It's a tragedy that people die without the gospel. It's even more tragic that so many Christians are sitting on their couch blaming God that people are dying without the gospel and not taking the gospel to them. So that may be how we can think of that. That is not an indictment on God. That's an indictment on us. We need to preach the gospel. We need to get off the couch. Get off the couch or write a check. Preferably get off the couch. Preferably get off the couch. Because here's the thing. If you can say, well, those people that have never heard the gospel, if God's going to let them into heaven, then one of the greatest disservices that we could do to mankind is preach the gospel. Ignorance would be the go-to. You would want to keep everybody ignorant. I don't want to do that. God doesn't want us to do that. Anyway, thanks so much for that question. It may have needed its own cogitations episode. But anyway, thank you so much. If you want to be a part of the Patreon family and be a part of the drawing that we're going to have when we hit 50, then www.patreon.com/nearchurches. And this is the end. God bless y'all, and we'll catch you on the flip side.